Final hour of power here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock in this 9 o'clock hour. Coming up in about 11 minutes, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on where things currently stand with the burgundy and gold. We'll get his thoughts on Terry McLaurin. I'll say this too, right? Like, I've been on a lot. I feel like I'm honestly, I had what, Monday and Tuesday I was off. I'm on every damn day though, normally, right? It feels like it in some form or fashion. I feel like I haven't talked Terry McLaurin in a while. It's only been like a show or two. But like, to go all the way to the 9 o'clock hour today and not mention Terry McLaurin, it's interesting. I'll continue to reiterate where I stand on this, bro. I think there's a 65% chance that an extension is signed and everything is water under the bridge. I also believe there's a 35% chance things get M-E-S-S-Y, oh my, messy. I have a real, real inkling that things are going to get a little spooky with Scary Terry. Now, has he played his final game as a Commander? Not willing to go there yet. But each passing day where a deal doesn't get done, it's not a good sign for the organization. And I'll say this too, right? I heard Grant Paulson talking about this earlier, and he did a great job trying to, you know, play devil's advocate, but let's keep it real. To act as if there's no detriment to the chemistry of Jaden and Terry from him not being there, you got to be out your rabbit ass mind. There's no way you think that, oh, it's no big deal. Look at the holdouts over the years. Right, look at the holdouts over the years across the National Football League. Doesn't happen a lot, right? So if this holdout continues and if there's no conversations going on, which I don't believe there are, then the holdout will continue. The question that G and D were asking earlier, and I agree with it totally. I think it's on base. What is, like, your point of no return date? Like, how late can he hold out into the offseason before you begin to feel uncomfortable about the holdout? To me, man, like, I want Terry in joint practices. And I know joint practices are coming up sooner rather than later. We're 2 weeks away from locking horns with the Patriots. That's the other thing, too. It's the last Thursday without football. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Because there's nothing, the Hall of Fame game always hits like crack. I'm telling you, that was probably a wild thing to say. I don't do crack. But you get the analogy that I'm trying to make. It hits different. Getting your whistle wet for the first time on the product that is the National Football League, sign me up. I mentioned, though, that I want to take a spin around the National Football League. Can we crank up those fancy around the NFL tunes, my brother? Because I want to get the people feel it as we take a spin around the NFL and look at some of the other training camp storylines here in the National Football League. We'll take a trip out to Dallas. We'll take a trip out to Philadelphia. Mike Vrabel getting testy with a reporter. And then Myles Garrett. Can we start with him? Cap'n-ass Myles Garrett is what I'm calling him. Here's the thing about Myles Garrett, right? Remember all the scuttlebutt about, oh, you know, we want to win the Super Bowl. And I want to play with a quarterback that's a franchise quarterback, and I want a chance to win a title. As soon as they threw him some money, he didn't know how to act. Here is Myles Garrett about his goals for 2025.
Yeah, I expect to run back to the defensive player of the year. So I'm keeping both of those things in mind. I have to be the very best player I can be every single day, whether we're practicing or playing. As soon as I step foot in the building, I have to be the best version of myself and the best leader I can possibly.
So which member of the Browns quarterback room made Myles Garrett confident to sign? Was it Dillon Gabriel? Was it Kenny Two Gloves? Was it retirement home Flacco? Or was it can't slow the hell down Sanders? Which one, Myles? Because you look like a fraud. We'll continue our spin around the National Football League, bringing some of the best audio from NFL training camp. Can we take a trip to Philadelphia? Big Game Howie, as I like to call him, Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles. I think he's one of the best executives in all of pro sports. He had this to say, and this is interesting to what's going on here in Washington. He had this to say about his philosophy of extending players too early rather than too late.
Why is that important for you to do, to sign them early on?
When you talk about culture, and I think that's like a big picture word that a lot of people throw around, and it's hard to really define what that means. But I think from our perspective, when people understand that when they start here, that they have an opportunity to continue here and get rewarded here, it's incredibly important so that when you draft guys, you can show them examples. If you do the right thing on and off the field, we're going to make sure that we keep you here and maybe even have a chance to finish your career here. And I think that just from our perspective, and everyone's got to do things their own way. I'm not saying it's perfect. We make a lot of mistakes. But from our way, that's a core tenet of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to draft, develop, sign. And when you do that with players, your opportunity to set up continuity, your ability to really set up leaders for your football team going forward who can show young players the way and how we do things, I think that gives you a chance to be special.
That's Howie Roseman on his philosophy. Look, maybe the Commanders should start, you know, looking at what's going on up the pike and see whether or not they should move that way. I'll say this about the Eagles and where things stand with them. I do think they should be looked at as the Super Bowl favorite next year. Can Jalen Hurts repeat some of the big-time performances that he had last year? Because in the playoffs, he was lights out, but in the regular season, there were some dud performances. This one's actually pretty funny. So I don't know if you all are privy to the spat that's going on right now between Cam Newton, former Panthers quarterback, and then he was, you know, pretty critical of Jalen Hurts, and then Dan Orlovsky and Ryan Clark came to his defense. Here is what Cam Newton had to say about Jalen Hurts.
When people always say, hey, Cam, you're hating on Jalen Hurts. No, I don't need to hate on Jalen Hurts. And the common thing that we always hear of, I've heard in this past week is, Cam, you're just mad that Jalen has what you don't. And Petty Cam keeps creeping back up to the microphone and he can say, should I go down a list of things that I have that Jalen doesn't?
Not only just Jalen, a lot of other people
don't have. But hear this out. And I hate that we're making a discussion point about something that he can't even speak to.
Yeah.
But it's so many people coming to his defense. And I respect that. But talk about the point. Don't talk about the pointer. You dig what I'm saying?
I dig what you're saying.
So.
And the point that Cam Newton made was actually spot on. I think fans out there would agree with me. He is talking about Jalen Hurts, the most insulated quarterback in the National Football League. When you talk about that supporting cast, anybody could go play quarterback in Philadelphia and have, you know, some, you know, semblance of success. Now, will you lead him all the way to the promised land like Hurts? I don't know. But clearly, I mean, he's got a lot of weapons.
I think it's easy to be annoyed at what Cam Newton is saying, though, because he's a hater. Like, there's no denying that he consistently is hating on people, whether he likes to say he is or he isn't. That's at least how I see it. I feel like he's constantly finding the negative spin on players that's when he talks about
it. That's funny that you had that thought, because, like, he kind of alluded to what he was doing. I pointed the message. The message was that, like, Hurts couldn't do it without the supporting cast, and, like, I don't know if that's hating. I hate the Eagles. So if you want to consider me a hater too, go on right ahead. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, ESPN NFL insider Lewis Riddick joins the program. We'll get his thoughts on where things currently stand between Terry McLaurin and the Commanders, plus whether or not he thinks this defense is primed for a step forward in 2025. Lewis Riddick joins us next. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham as we take you up to 10 p.m. tonight. Right now, we go out to the Rude Guest Hotline for the first time this show, where we find one of my absolute favorite NFL personalities, ESPN's NFL analyst, Lewis Riddick. Lewis, what's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
It's gearing up. Getting ready, man. Just getting ready to really hit the ground running. A lot of exciting news already. A lot of that news surrounding Washington.
For sure. It was a hot one out there today. Once again, no Terry McLaurin on the practice field. When you first got wind of this situation, what was your initial reaction? And what is your reaction now to the reporting that they're only looking to give him a slight increase from last year and not give him a deal that starts with a number three?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Misses. It's detrimental to me, to Jaden's continuing development and the development of this offense and the development of this roster overall. Look, I know people will argue that, hey, look, he's making on average, you know, $22-23 million a year. Is he really a true number one? You know, we don't have to really worry about this anyway till September. Look, Jaden Daniels is in his second year.
Yeah.
I know the man, when he sits up there in press conferences, looks like somebody who's been playing for 5 years with his composure and his poise and his coolness and the way he played last year. But the time missed is just critical.
Yeah.
It's critical. And, look, I get it. I get it in terms of what Terry is looking for. You know, when he looks at some of the people above him right now and their importance to their quarterbacks, is no more greater than his importance to his quarterback. So should he be up there, you know, in the top 10 in average per year? Should he be up there above Brandon Ayuk? Is he as important to his football team as Amon-Ra St. Brown is to Detroit? Is he as important as Garrett Wilson is to New York? Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they're going to make arguments about his age and, you know, projecting future performance. And
what do you make of that piece of contract?
And, you know, look, they've got to have some fiscal discipline here and kind of do things right. And I get that. I get to some of the concerns.
Even looking at it through the prism of, hey,
this lingering.
You don't want
this to become a protracted thing. You don't want any kind of animosity to build up, especially on the part of Terry. When you know from an organizational standpoint, he don't want to go nowhere. He wants to play with Jaden Daniels. Hell, everybody wants to come to Washington and play with Jaden Daniels now. Everybody wants to play for Dan Quinn. It's a hotbed. I'd want to go there too.
So, Lewis, let's
make sure that we don't get, you know, too much, you know, in the weeds with our own success, albeit just one season and the critical things here. What is critical to making sure that Jaden continues his ascension to superstardom, to MVP caliber status? And what's critical is getting him protected.
Yeah, which they
worked
did.
Hard this offseason to do with the improvements on the offensive line. Getting him more weapons and taking care of the weapons that he already has, especially someone who has produced the way in which Terry McLaurin has produced when people have thrown the ball his way.
Lewis, when you look at it from the team's perspective, do you understand where they're coming from? And if you were in this situation, obviously you've, you know, spent plenty of time around the National Football League and can evaluate talent with the best of them. From a fiscal standpoint, though, with Jaden being on the rookie contract still, isn't this the time, if you're going to overpay for a number one wide receiver, wouldn't you agree that this is the time to do so? That's why I'm, you know, a lot of folks here locally are really stuck in terms of what their mentality is, what the thought process here with this is.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you may have like went out on me there for a second, but yeah, with him, the rookie contract, it is a situation here now where you would hope that they will take advantage of them being able to have some flexibility and make sure they capitalize on this window in such a way that every front office ideally is looking to capitalize. You know, every front office talks about the fact that, hey, if you can get a superstar caliber quarterback and he's on a rookie deal, think of all the flexibility that gives you to really bolster the roster around him and really kind of stretch your wings, so to speak, and make this roster, you know, about as strong as you possibly can. And Washington, and look, I mean, you think about, if you just look out, I'm trying to pull up their their cap situation in particular over the next couple of years. I mean, we just did this exercise when looking at Washington. I mean, Washington right now is projected to have the fifth most cap space in 2026. Mm. And when you look in 2027, they're supposed to have the fourth most cap space as it stands currently, you know, in that year. A situation where, look, you're trying to balance out future projections as far as Terry with a guy his age, while at the same time not having it be something that you have bogged you down so much so to the point where you don't take into account the individual, meaning what Terry's track record of being durable has been, what his work ethic is like, what you see every day with your own eyes as far as, do you see a guy who looks like he's slowing down? Do you see a guy who looks like he's not still committed to the process of making sure that he's able to play at a high level? Does he look like someone who you, in your best estimation, is going to hit a wall anytime soon? You know, we really get hung up on that 30-plus-year-old, you know, kind of line of demarcation a lot. If you got to take this case by case, and in this particular case, because of his importance to Jaden, because of his importance to the football team overall, and how much this dude is the dude as far as the wide receivers are concerned there, you just want to do right by him. And I'm not saying break the bank for him. I'm not saying upset the entire, you know, salary cap structure as far as how you have it forecast over the next couple of years and what you want to get done, but let's not have this dude. Let's not have this lingering into August. And for damn sure, let's not have this being something we're still talking about as we approach week one. That's going to do nothing but hurt your young quarterback.
Lewis, when you think of the current landscape of the NFL, holdouts are becoming increasingly more rare. What does it say to you that Terry's not even willing to be in the building? To me, it screams they're way further apart than even is being reported here.
Yeah, I think it's, look, he understands his value to the football team. He understands, you know, where he is at in his career, and he wants to maximize his own personal window, which he has every right to do and should do. And I think he looks at some of the people, you know, ahead of him right now. And when you're talking about sell, you know, on a average per year basis, he's going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Look, I feel as though I'm better and more important to my football team right now, where, you know, relative to where we are in our program build, than Michael Pittman, than Jalen Waddle, than Brandon Ayuk, as important as Amon-Ra. I've done more than Garrett Wilson. You know, I mean, those comparables right there are ones where I'm sure he's thinking, hey, look, man, up here a little bit higher because I've continued to improve, and everyone knows the effect that I have, the relationship that we sparked, you know, that we've kind of like, that we've really consummated here. And I get where he's coming from. I really do. And yeah, I'm sure, and nobody, you know, I don't want to speak for Terry, but by all accounts, he is someone who wants to be a commander and doesn't want to go anywhere. But at the same time, wanting to be fairly compensated relative to what you feel is your importance to that organization is well within his right. And so I hope they're able to bridge that gap and get him to a place where, like, we all know that the ultimate, you know, point of agreement in contract negotiations, and I'm saying the ultimate one, is one where both sides don't feel great, but they don't feel pissed off anymore either, right? Yeah. So maybe you gave in a little bit more than you wanted to, but you didn't kind of give in everything on the part of Washington. And for Terry, you got a little bit more than, you know, or you got enough money to where you're happy. It may not be everything that you wanted, but now you're ready to go to work. And so hopefully they're able to find that happy medium. Look, I remember Terry when he came out of Ohio State. I remember the things they said about him in Columbus. I've been a fan of this cat from day one.
Yeah.
From day one. And him and Jaden Daniels are just a perfect freaking match. And I know Adam knows that, Peters, and I know the ownership knows that, and I know that Dan knows that, and Cliff knows that. They all know it.
Yeah.
So let's not, when you got those kind of things, see, this, And I know this sounds like idealistic and pie in the sky and stuff, but you know what? Honestly, if I was sitting in that seat, I honestly would have a hard time not going to ownership and saying, look, we need to do what we need to do to get this done.
Make it happen.
We really do. Yeah. We need to step outside of our line in the sand was going to be, because do we understand what kind of window we're in here with this dude? Do you understand what we've got here? And any time that is missed, I don't care if it's just one day, two, any time that's missed is detrimental to Jaden. And we don't want to screw that up. After how long it took us to get this right?
Exactly.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Right. I totally agree. To your point, Jaden's numbers when targeting Terry McLaurin, passer rating of 128.4, only behind Jared Goff, hooking up with Amon-Ra St. Brown. 15 of his 25 touchdown passes from a season ago went to McLaurin. So there is no denying, denying it. His importance to the offense, man.
Yeah, it is what it is. And you should be looking for ways, and I know they are. You should be looking for ways to make this work to where it's one where we stop talking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm not saying this is someone who's on the outside looking in. I'm saying this is someone who did his work on Terry when he came out and was at their pro day at Ohio State and talked to the people there. And I know that coaching staff well. And someone who also went down to LSU and did as much work as I possibly could on Jaden Daniels and why I was so convicted on him.
Yeah.
These two are like, they're perfect for each other. It's like the way, like, Joe feels about Jamar out there in Cincy.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing, even though obviously, you know, the age difference, I mean, those two are
for sure
still very, very early in their career. But still, it's just the right thing to do, man. It just feels like the right thing to do. And sometimes that means maybe getting into a little bit of uncomfortable air to kind of make sure that you don't mess this up and try to be, you know, try to be too smart yourself and be too cute with your salary cap management and wind up cutting off your nose to spite your face. And I don't sense that Washington will do that, but you just don't want to get into that territory.
I don't either, but I also wonder if they're trying to, you know, not set a try to set a precedent here. When you think about Laremy Tunsil's going to need a new deal coming up here soon. Marshawn Lattimore is going to be a free agent at season's end. Deebo Samuel going to be a free agent at season's end. Are they taking some of these other deals into account?
There's always... Look, you don't have one. You obviously can't have exceptions. Making right. exceptions be your rule of thumb, but there's always room for exceptions.
Yes.
Okay, there is, especially when you're talking about a guy who directly impacts the performance and the productivity and the explosiveness of your quarterback. Wide receiver. I told this story just the other day. A coach told me this a couple of years ago, and it was a college coach, but it makes sense and it's true. The number one position that wide receiver that coaches in college football are looking for right now to make sure that they have locked down is wide receiver. Yeah. Okay, because of their importance to the game in today's day and age, how those guys can win the games with one play, with one big play outside the numbers, inside the numbers, deep down the field, explosive, explosive, explosive. That's what everybody wants. How can we generate explosives? How can we generate explosives? That's why the conversation is shifted with running backs now, mm-hmm. as far as, hey, look, if you can get one who can give you plus 20, plus 30, plus 40-yard rips like Saquon, like Ashton Jeanty coming out of college, that's why the Raiders didn't think twice about drafting him sixth overall. They didn't give a damn what people said about you can't draft running backs that high. Right. If they can rip off plus explosives for you at the rate in which he does, you take them. If Terry has proven he can produce explosives in this offense at the rate that is a winning rate, a championship caliber rate. And you make exceptions for that. Since he made exceptions for Jamar Chase, hell, they made a bigger exception even for T. Higgins. Because Joe said, I don't want just Jamar, I want them both.
Do you think it's gonna take Jaden maybe getting vocal with ownership and voicing his desire for Terry?
He's at such a different stage in his career.
Right, I mean, that's true.
Joe's the dude. I mean, there ain't no question about you. And so is Jaden.
Right, I mean, but I hear what you're saying. It's early to be. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he feels like that's his, you know, that's his lane right now.
Yeah.
And I don't think he necessarily has to do this. Not like I don't look. This regime hasn't even had a chance to establish a reputation yet. I mean, as far as are they willing to pay players or not. Since he has already established a reputation of being the team that you have to fight your ass off to get anything. You know, so Joe maybe thought, hey, look, I'm not with this.
I got to do what I got to do, man.
My God.
Yeah.
You know, in Washington, like they've done everything right. I mean, they had a honeymoon type of first season, that regime.
Yeah.
They couldn't have gone any better. So I don't think Jaden probably feels like it's his place, nor is it necessary. I'm hoping it's not, because I sound like a damn fan, but I am just being real.
You're being objective about it, too.
What I sound like is, what I feel like, though, is someone who knows intimately how long this place has suffered as far as quarterback play, mm-hmm. and just how much work this kid has put in, and how much him and Cliff and all those dudes just clicked last year. You just don't want to see anything get in the way of that.
Yeah, totally. When you think about their ability to retain the continuity on staff, bringing every offensive coach back from the season ago, it's rare that happens. And Lewis, you've been in this building before, and it's been an unpleasant place to work. Think about this: if you're Cliff Kingsbury, there were jobs out there that he could have taken. You don't think he wanted to go potentially work with Caleb Williams one more time? There were other good jobs out there, and he wanted to be here. I wonder how much that would have changed if Terry McLaurin was not going to be a part of the equation.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
You know, so I know we're talking, you know, about dramatic situations as far as Terry not mm-hmm. you know, not being there, but yeah, you want all your horses, you want all of your home run hitters in the fold in camp so you guys can get to work and take the next step.
Yeah.
And really legitimately say, we got a shot to get to the big game out there in Santa Clara this year. In
for
the
sure.
Super Bowl. That's what we want. And they're on their way, man. They've done so many good things this offseason.
The offseason has been incredible, Lewis. That's why this is like such a black eye over everything.
It is. It just makes you, and I know people say, man, y'all are overreacting. It's only day one. Every day is critical. There's nothing I hate more then when people start telling me, hey, man, as long as he's there for week one, bullshit. No.
Yeah.
You know, especially wide receivers, right?
Right.
Wide receivers are like one of the most oft-injured positions in football when you're talking about soft tissue injuries, hamstrings, calves, things of that nature, especially when they miss training camp time because their body isn't conditioned for football.
Right.
You have a guy who has a protracted holdout, you're just increasing the risk of him having some kind of soft tissue injury where come week two or three, he's out 3-4 games, 5 games. And that's not what you want either.
No.
And so there's just so many things I'd be scared of. I'm telling you, I'd be in the owner's office if I'm at or Peters, man. I'd be like, look, man, listen, we got to really get this.
We got to fix something now.
We got to get this done. We got to get this done. And I know we don't want to set a precedent. We don't want people knocking on our door all the time going, hey, man, I need a raise when they're still under contract and they signed a recent extension. But there's exceptions. This is an exception. We got to make an exception here.
Lewis, we appreciate you making some time for us, man. Two quick ones before we let you out. I wanted to get something non-Terry on the docket for you real quick.
Yeah.
The Commanders running game last year, statistically, right, ranked 6th in the NFL, I believe, in yards per carry. They were top 4 in rushing yards per game. But Jaden Daniels was the leading rusher on this football team last year.
Yeah.
Can that be the case next year and they still make the playoffs? I say no. What say you?
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I said in the offseason they need someone to be able to carry the ball out of the backfield who's explosive. Again,
yeah.
We were just talking about mm-hmm. Ashton and talking about Saquon. I said they need that component. They need that component to take this game, to take this offense to the next level.
Yeah.
And look, Jacory Crosby-Merritt is someone who I like a lot.
He's flashed, man.
It's a lot to put on. I mean, I don't know if he's going to, you know, give you that game-changing type of, you know, presence in the backfield. And we all love Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And we all love Austin. But that position does worry me. It worries me that they don't have that dude that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you want to, like, I mean, you know, like, back in the day when Troy had
Emmett, yeah. All the elite ones have had a good one at some point in time.
You want them to have that
yeah.
that kind of component in their offense too.
I totally agree with you. It's tough, and I know. I wonder if you feel the same way. I feel like it's hard to eval running backs and safeties this early in camp. I look at the joint practices against New England and Baltimore in terms of, like, where we'll get some answers when it comes to running back one, because you know how it is. Anthony Lynn, old school, Lewis. You can't block, you ain't going to get the rock. So that's the other thing I'm looking to see with Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. Can he pass protect?
Yeah.
On defense, Lewis, and this is sort of like a philosophical thing with Dan Quinn, because he's kind of bringing the same system over from Dallas. The same issues that they had in Dallas under Dan Quinn, Lewis, they had last year here in the nation's capital, where they're kind of light up front. And this stat staggered me, Lewis, when you think about the personnel that they had up front, specifically on the interior. They were third worst in the NFL in terms of yards allowed before contact. Rush yards allowed before contact. So their run defense definitely is a problem. And when you think about the division that they're in, it becomes even more paramount. For the first 5 weeks, Lewis, you got Omarion Hampton, Bijan Robinson, Josh Jacobs. So you're not going to get to, you know, coast out of the gate here. You're going to find out right away if the run defense is better or not. When you look at what they did, adding some bigger bodies here, do you think that is enough for them to fix that Achilles heel?
We're going to find out. We're going to find out if Kinlaw can ultimately be the kind of game wrecker that people thought he could be when he originally came out and San Fran thought, hey, look, we're going to add this dude to what has been a dominant front for us, you know, recently. And he just wasn't able to be what physically you thought he would be able to be.
Yeah.
Will a guy like, you know, I mean, will Dietrich Wise, will he help? Will Eddie Goldman help? Yeah, we're going to see. We're going to see. I mean, it's funny. We talk about the same thing when we talk about Dallas, right? In their own division. It's the same issue.
Yep.
It's the same issue. Come November and December, can they bone up? Can they really just be able to say, and you know, hey, look, you're not going to run that ball for 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah.
Hard work. And those guys, and look, a lot of times, you know, run defense is equal parts want to, and it's all equal parts being, you know, having that kind of size and that kind of physical stature to be able to stand in there and not get the line of scrimmage moved. And we're going to find out. And I know Dan Quinn knows just how important that is.
And look, I mentioned the running backs that they're going to play in the first month of the season. If you don't think Mike Vrabel and company are going to run it right at you during these joint practices with Trevion Henderson and Gibson and Stevenson.
Of course.
And then you got Baltimore to joint practice with as well. So I think it's a good ramp up for them in terms of if it's going to be better. Lewis, we appreciate you. We appreciate you making some time for us. For sure. We appreciate you making some time for us as always, my brother.
Of course, man. Appreciate it.
That is Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst. Always love catching up with him. One of the absolute best talking all things NFL. One thing I didn't ask Lewis about that we'll touch on here before we get out of here. This Commanders run defense. Yes, that is going to be an issue and something that we're all looking at. One other position or the one other area, I guess, of the defense that I'm curious to see as well. Can they turn the ball over more? Joe Witt Jr. was very adamant, you know, earlier this offseason about, hey, look, like we can't be in a situation where we're not turning it over. We're not turning people over. And I think the frustration that came from Joe Witt is that the opportunities were there. They were in position. They just didn't make the play. So we'll see if this Commanders defense can take a step up in that regard. Excuse me, as we get geared up for 2025. One final segment left to go before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. More overtime coming your way next. We'll take a look at ESPN's list of the top 50 offseason signings, trades, draft picks. Are there any Commanders on this list? We'll touch on that next as The Fan. One final segment left to go before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. I got Bart Winkler going to be ready for you there. I was debating, well, whether do we get into this weekend? Do we tease it right now? I want to get into it now. ESPN put together their list. Oh, we didn't even get to this. A couple of ESPN lists that we didn't get to. We always say it is list season. But Bill Barnwell of ESPN put together his all-pressure team, meaning players, coaches, GMs under the most pressure heading into 2025. The first guy that he's got on this list, I think, is probably the first guy on a lot of people's list, J.J. McCarthy with the Minnesota Vikings. You want to talk about a quarterback that is going to make or break his team's success? When you think about everything that Minnesota did this offseason, bolstering the offensive line, bringing in Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave to make that pass rush even more formidable and that run defense even more formidable, it's all on J.J. McCarthy, right? How does this group put it all together, man? Like, that's going to be the key for me. And when you think about it, right, Vikings won 14 games last year. 14 games last year, man. So if you're a member of this Vikings locker room, I wonder how much patience, how long of a leash does J.J. McCarthy have? Now, obviously, not having a legitimate backup there in town muddies the conversation a little bit. But I think we're in a spot where it's like, you know what? Are we going to really run with J.J. McCarthy? And it seems like right now this group actually is. Now, the one thing that I've said all offseason, and I'm not going to be shy about it at all, if I was Minnesota, like, man, bring me Aaron Rodgers. Bring me Aaron. That's what my decision would have been if I was the Minnesota Vikings. And I know, Ben, you're rolling your eyes out because you think I'm just some Aaron Rodgers stan. By the way, his first pass today of 11-on-11 was a pick to Patrick Queen.
Let's go.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
But like, yeah, like I think the Vikings should have signed Aaron Rodgers. Will they regret not going with a more seasoned signal caller? I don't know. I just think like if you're a Vikings fan and you're 100% dialed in and bought in, and you have no qualms about what McCarthy's going to be, you're being naive, man. You're being naive. So this is my thing, right? This is my thing. At what point, or do we get to a point where Minnesota trades for Kirk Cousins? Because I have a hard time believing that he is actually going to wait it out there with the Vikings. Excuse me, there with the Falcons. Poor Kirk, right? He is just addicted to being Wally Pipped. It happens all the time. Happened here in D.C. Happened in Minnesota with the Vikes. It's now happening in Atlanta with the Falcons. So, poor Kirk Cousins. That's the first guy he's got under pressure. He's got Breece Hall on this list. Breece Hall is interesting to me. I'm a big fan of Braylon Allen, the running back that they drafted out of Wisconsin last year. Breece Hall's just got to stay healthy. If Breece Hall's healthy, I mean, he should, you know, be able to have a considerable amount of success. Now, one other thing that's super interesting to me as well, right, is if you're the Jets and knowing what happened today to Justin Fields, a dislocated toe, the one thing that was said is that, hey, look, like his availability for week one, not in question. But I think it's a big deal for Chicago because he's missing valuable reps. Like, that's the thing for me. You're missing key reps. And when you think about entering a new offense and playing with new guys for the first time, you need as much as possible, man. Honestly, you need as much reps as possible. You got to make this thing work. We'll see if ultimately they are able to make it work. I'll say this too, right? Like, the biggest thing for me when it comes to this year in the National Football League in terms of all the guys on this pressure list, because since we're running out of time here, I'll run through some of them rapid fire. It's J.J. McCarthy. It's Breece Hall. It's Brian Schottenheimer. It's Tariq Woolen out in Seattle. Braxton Jones, the tackle in Chicago. Bryce Young. Bryce Young's another interesting one. I say it all the time about this job. I'm a man first, right? This is the best part about being a sports radio guy. We're like weathermen. You can be wrong as hell. But as long as you are able to back up your point and you're entertaining and you can, command the mic, you'll have a shot. You can be wrong. It's okay. I was wrong on Bryce Young. When he came out that year with Stroud, I thought Stroud should have been the number one overall pick. And obviously, Panther fans ruined the day. But there's just, to me, even with what he did last year down the stretch, and what we're not going to do, football fans out there, is act like Bryce Young was just so damn good down the stretch. His best performance down the stretch was arguably a performance where he went 26 of 46. Ugh. He played well in the season finale against Atlanta, 25 of 34 for three tubs. But, like, there's no precedent for a 5'10", 200-pound quarterback having success in the NFL. That is why I have my doubts. That is why I have my reservations about just how good Bryce Young ultimately is going to be in the National Football League. But I will say this, if I'm Carolina, I'm feeling good about what I did to try and, you know, kickstart the career, jumpstart rather the career of Bryce Young. You drafted Xavier Leggett last year. You bring in Teratoa McMillan this year from Arizona. Jimmy Horn Jr. to me is someone that's criminally slept on in terms of a guy that's just got flat out speed. It's going to be interesting to see. And then last year, Jalen Coker, you know, came onto the scene. I actually got to call a couple of games to Jalen Coker when I was doing color work for Georgetown. It's a guy that went to Holy Cross and has been able to carve out a role for himself in the NFL. He's got that physical profile, though, right? 6'4", 213. They'll make it work. Does Bryce Young, like, put a stranglehold on the Panthers' job after this year, or will they begin to be in the quarterback market once again? I think he'll figure it out. Does he figure it out to where they have this unwavering conviction that he's the guy, or are they still flirting with other signal callers come next offseason? Well, this one's interesting. They put Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot on this list, and I'll be real. You can make the argument that they pushed all their chips in the middle, right? Trading up for James Pierce Jr., drafting Jaylon Walker. You need both of those guys to hit. The other thing is this with Fontenot. Why the hell did they sign Kirk Cousins to this deal if they knew they were going to draft Michael Penix? It's a decision that's not talked about a lot in the offseason. We're just, you know, kind of looking at it through the lens of, well, Kirk needs a new destination. Why does Kirk need a new destination? Because Terry Fontenot and company, they're scared.
Did they know they were drafting Penix when they signed him? Or do you think it was this kind of situation where maybe they kind of regretted the deal they gave Cousins, said we should probably pivot and get a quarterback in case this goes south like it did?
See, it's tough because, you know, certain organizations will tell you, you know, we figured out our QB early in the process. Some figured it out later in the process. Based off of what happened with Cousins and the fact that they gave him that deal, I would have to believe that they found out during the draft process that, you know what, Penix is pretty good. We can deal with Kirk Cousins and that, you know, dilemma on the back burner. The other thing is, too, like, Cousins was coming off an Achilles tear. I don't know if it was some foregone conclusion that Penix was going to play early on in Cousins' deal. I will say this, right? I think Michael Penix and company have a lot of pressure on him next year in that NFC South, rather. I still think it's Tampa Bay's division to lose. It's going to do it, though, here for this Thursday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it is at NELL_BTP. I'm back out in Ashburn tomorrow. Boots on the ground covering training camp, and then you'll get a little bit of date time while I see myself and the prodigy, Grant Paulson. We'll take you through your afternoon drive. See you later.